Sorry, need my notes. Wow, that was a great start. It's all good. It's all good. My name's Rob Muller, and I'm here to talk to you today as the continuation of our series on mission clarity. And I'm going to talk to you about mission clarity in giving, okay? And because giving is about trust, and I want to talk about that before we're done today. And Michelle was very kind to bring the chair, but who are we kidding? I'm not going to sit. I had the chair last time, and I really didn't use it. So, and my brother Carl, if I come beyond here, will you give me the high sign and move me back? I need to stay kind of in one little section here, okay? All right. We'll fix that. So giving is about trust. But giving is also about relationship, and that's something that God gave to me in the last couple of weeks while I've been working on this message, and it was something I really hadn't thought about giving before, and it's something that I want to talk about today because it was really interesting to me, and I hope you find it interesting, and I pray that you find it useful in your relationship with God too. So here's an interesting thing. One of the key attributes of God is giving. That's one of the things that God is all about all the time. And another thing that's a key attribute of God is relationship, isn't it? I mean, God made human beings so he could be in relationship with us. Isn't that right? We were made to be in relationship with God. And we read about that in the Bible, in the early part of the Bible, in Genesis, how God made the world. And he made the sun and the stars and the moon and all the plants and all the animals, and then he made people. And you know what happened in the Bible almost as soon as he made people? He gave the whole world to the people. He said, take dominion over this place, have authority over it, and subdue it, be fruitful, and multiply. He gave it to us. But as we read further through that narrative, what do we find out? God also said, there's one thing you really can't do in my creation, and that's you can't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And wouldn't you know it, that's exactly what happened. Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They sinned. They rebelled against God. And they put a separation between God and human beings that we call sin. Did God give up on giving? No. Did God give up on relationship? No. I think that there's so much in the Bible. It's almost the whole Bible is a story of God's plan to bring us back into relationship with him by giving of himself to us. First through the people of Israel in the Old Testament, then through Jesus and the church going forward. And I want to say to you that several thousand years ago, there was a guy by the name of John. He was a friend of Jesus. He was a student of Jesus. He was a disciple of Jesus. He wrote a narrative of the life of Jesus. And in it he said, in the third chapter of his narrative, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. You see, God worked in that process with Jesus when Jesus died and overcame sin and death and the power of the devil to bring us back into relationship with him. God's always been about relationship. God's always been about giving. Jesus paid the ultimate price so that we wouldn't have to. Today, I want to talk to you about three main things. One, I want to talk to you about what the Bible says to us about giving, instructions that God might give us, commandments God might give us, and the promises that God makes us for us about giving, okay? That's one thing. Two, I want to talk about how we can think about giving, not really a how-to, but, you know, sometimes people don't have a habit of giving, or we're not happy about how we give. I had a woman from the 8:30 service say to me, she goes, I was driving in this morning, and I was praying to God saying, God, can you help me be more joyful in my giving? She was writing a check to give, but she said, can you help me be more joyful in my giving? And she came up to me afterwards. It was awesome. And she said, thank you. I'm like, I don't know. I've been working on this for weeks. I had no idea that this is something that you needed, but I'm glad you got something from it. You see what I'm saying? There's gaps that we feel in how we give, and I want to talk a little bit about that. And the last thing I want to talk about is this business that giving is about trust. and we might say faith, because that's the operative power in this thing. And so that's where we want to go with this. So let me start with talking about what the Bible says about giving. So this is a paper copy of the sermon notes. You can get a paper copy from the ushers if you want one, or if you didn't already get one. Or you can get it online, of sermon notes at ctkcharlotte.org. But why I want to tell you that is that there's a link in this sermon notes that'll take you to a page that I found where I Googled in my phone, what does the Bible say about giving? Got back over 100 Bible verses. There's more than that, but that's what I got back in that first search. And that link is there, so you'll have plenty of places to check. On the other side of it, I've picked about 20 or 25 of those Bible verses, and I put them in your self-study or group study notes, and here's my challenge to you. Take a sample of these Bible verses, or read them all. Yeah, read them all. That would be better. So just go through them and ask yourself this question as you read them. What is God telling me about, what instructions is God giving me about giving here? Okay? And the second thing I want you to ask is, what kind of promises is God making to me or to us about giving in these Bible verses? And there's dozens and dozens and dozens of them. You know, you can go on your YouVersion Bible. There's Bible studies about giving. You can go to BibleGateway.com and find the same thing. There's lots and lots of resources about giving. But here's a couple of things that God, I think, says in general about giving. And I'm going to give you three verses towards the end of what I'm talking about. Oh, Sue, I overran already, didn't I? All right. I need to give you my foundational verse, which is from 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. He should have said you may abound in all good work. That would have been awesome, right? Five alls in a row. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed for the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You hear that God gives you the seed to put in the ground and the harvest that gets made into bread. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for this inexpressible gift. And the second one, much shorter, is from Luke 6:38. And you all need to appreciate the tech crew, because I'm one of these guys that sort of jumps around a little bit. I'm not experienced at this like Kyle and Pastor Bill and Pastor Craig. The second one is Luke 6:38. Give, Jesus said, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. All right, got that out there, because that's something we need to know about giving. God wants to give us all sufficiency to be able to give. He wants our giving to overflow into blessings to other people. He wants us to use a large measure when we give, apparently. That's what I'm getting, part of what I'm getting out of the passage from Luke. Let me talk to you a little bit about what God has said about what I've found God has done for us in giving. And I just wrote this down this morning, so forgive me, I'm reading. I haven't practiced this before. God has always established that the people of God were to participate in his kingdom agenda by sharing abilities, time, and resources. See, from the very beginning, when God set up the temple for the people of Israel, you know, the people of Israel were meant to serve in the temple. They were meant to contribute to the temple. They were meant to be a part of that worship and that advancement of God's kingdom. And the same thing is true today. That's the way God set it up to work. We get a chance to participate in the advancement of God's kingdom. We're here at CTK to connect all people to the life-giving message of Jesus. All people to the life-giving message of Jesus. And by doing that, we're beginning to answer that commandment and that call that Jesus gave us to make disciples of all nations. That's our mission here. And we do it through, we've got this Act to Thrive that's coming into being here right now. We've got several international missions that we've been a part of in Burundi and Guatemala, Slovakia. We've got other kinds of missions that we do here in the United States. The youth have done multiple missions, various places in the United States. And we've got stuff right here in Steel Creek, right here in Charlotte, helping families, putting families together with families. There's a zillion things going on that we can put ourselves into for the mission of God. So you'll read in the Bible about giving. You'll read about something called tithing. That's giving 10% of what you get. And that's something that God talks about a lot. He talked about it a lot to the people of Israel. And but I will tell you this, that no one here is going to tell you exactly how or what you should give. Right? Remember what Paul said. When I find it again. He said, each must give as he's decided in his heart. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You got to work this out with God, between you and God, okay? But tithing is something that's close to God's heart. It's something that I've done. It's something that I know a lot of people have done. I find it to be very helpful for me in my giving to God, and so I recommend it to anybody. You'll also see a concept when we talk about giving in the Bible of what we call the first fruits. You know, God was talking originally thousands upon thousands of years ago to agricultural people, right? They'd plant a crop, they'd get a harvest, and God said, hey, before you do anything else with the harvest, get first fruits out for me, right? For me. You know, they'd have flocks, and the flocks would have baby goats and sheep and stuff, and before you do anything about that, make sure that God gets the first fruits. The other thing that God has said, and it applies much better to agricultural people, because money is money. You know, when you give money, that it's just money. But he said you got to give an unblemished offering. In other words, if you're wandering around outside in your goat herd and you got a goat out there with one horn, that's not the one you give to God. All right? You got to give the perfect one, the unblemished one. Okay? And I think those are some things that are sort of basic principles, that you should be giving some portion of what you've got from God, that you should be giving first fruits, and that you should be giving with a heart towards giving something that's as perfect as possible, as unblemished and as pure as possible. Okay? Let's talk a little bit about relationship quickly. So here's the thing about relationship. I'll talk about a salvation relationship when we come to know God through Jesus, right? The Bible says if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You become a new creation, right? You become a new person, a part of God's family. Now, that kind of a relationship to me is like a 100-0, right? It's all God. Jesus died for us. I didn't die for anybody. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't do anything to give it to get it. You can only get it as a free gift from God, right? The Holy Spirit calls us. It's not like we're out there chasing it. God's really chasing us. But in giving, what I find is this. This is what I wanted to say about relationship. I find that there's an interesting dynamic here. God says, you give, and then I do something. You give, and I do something. It's almost like it's like a bigger or a more mature it's a different kind of relationship, but we all have a part in it. And God is looking to grow you in that relationship. He's actually looking to grow you in all your relationship. You know, he wants to grow you in that salvation relationship. He wants you to take more responsibility to help other people come to know the Lord, connect all people to the life-giving message of Jesus. But in giving, it starts out as you give, something else, time goes by, and God does something, okay? And what God does is so, so cool. All right, Sue, I'm going to go to my Bible verses now. I am going to go to, which one's first, Proverbs? I think you got the back up probably, Sue. I'm going to go to Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. There you go. Honor the, and it's not her fault, believe me. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits, see, first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. And then in Malachi 3:10, God had his prophet Malachi talk to the people of Israel. And he said, bring the full tithe into the temple, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test. You hear that? God is saying, come on, try me out. Try me out. Bring the tithe into the storehouse. Bring it and put me to the test if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil. Sorry, I memorized it from a different Bible verse, so it's like in my head. I apologize. So it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a land of delight. The thing about these promises that God has given us in this, and of course we have the Luke chapter, the Luke one, pressed down and shaken together. It's one of those things where the cereal box is half full. You ever have that happen, Michael? You know, you open the cereal box and you think it's half full. Well, what God's going to do is going to shake the cereal box down till it looks half full. Then he's going to fill it back up and shake it down again. And then fill it back up and shake it down again. And fill it back up until it overflows into your lap. That's the way God wants to bless you. See, the description of the blessings that come to you from giving are extravagant. They're out of this world. They're something you can't almost believe. You know, we've got barns full. We've got vats bursting. That sounds a little violent. But we've got all kinds of things that are so big you can't even wrap your head around it. We've got God opening the windows of heaven. Do you know that one of the other places in the Old Testament that God talked about the windows of heaven is when he had the flood? When the flood came, the windows of heaven opened and the rains came and the whole world was flooding. How about God's blessings coming out of the windows of heaven to fill up your storehouses? Is that something worth thinking about? It's very much worth thinking about. God wants to bless us in what we're doing. And remember what Paul said, that the blessing is supposed to overflow so that we can be blessings to other people. That our blessing is going to overflow and bless other people. They're going to give thanks to God. You know, there's almost nothing better you can do, in my opinion, than to let your light shine before men so they'll see your good works and give glory to God. You know, it's great, Kyle. Somebody would say, God, Kyle, I give glory to God for what you just did. Yeah, well, Kyle would say, it's not me, it's God. But see, the point is to point it to God. When they see something that we do, that we point ourselves back to God. So let's talk a little bit about what you can do to think about giving. Hope I didn't skip too many things, Sue. All right. First, yeah, see, she's on me. Know that God invites you. This is an invitation from God to be in relationship in giving. God's promising, you give, and it will be given to you, pressed down and shaken together. The thing that's in the "it will be given to you" is trust and faith, and that's, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. So God, know that God invites you. I give credit to my son Matthew. He said, you got to talk to people about being intentional. See, here's the thing about giving. You got to be intentional about it, you got to have some discipline to it, and you got to be willing to take some sacrifice in it, okay? And intentionality, okay. So you have to decide in your heart. If you're sitting there thinking, I can't give, or I won't give, or I don't know how to give, I can only pray that something I say today or something that God works in your heart will point you in the direction to where you say, okay, I need to take a first step. I don't know exactly what to do, but I want to be intentional about giving in some way. And let's talk about this. We're moving into a time when we're going to have a pledge Sunday in 2 weeks at the end of the month. And so some of you are sitting out there going, oh, so here it comes. Now he's asking us for money. Well, yeah. It takes money to run the kingdom of God. It takes money to connect people to the life-giving message of Jesus. But it's not just about that. You know, we've got people, you just experienced drawing closer to God through worship. You think that just happens? People are putting their ability, they're putting their time into the mission and ministry of God's kingdom for the good of the church. It's important that we look at all those different aspects, because there's so much around here that goes on that's not about money. You know, we couldn't do all the things we do in Guatemala if people don't go. We couldn't do the things that we do, all the things we do in Burundi, if people don't go. Do they need money? Yeah, we send them money too. But they need people, and people got to take time to do it, and people got to put their abilities into it. You know, one example that I wanted to give about time and the discipline it takes and the sacrifice it takes is I want to tell a story on my dad. My mom and dad are here today, and they go to church up on the other side of town, but they heard I was talking, so they came. And so Susan and I were over at mom and dad's a couple of weeks ago, and Susan said, "Hey, Rob's off on Tuesday next week. Why don't we come up and have lunch?" And my dad said, "Nah, Tuesday's not good." And I said, "Now, Dad, I mean, you've been retired for 25 years, right? So, you know, you would think he has lots of time, but no. He's made a commitment to the Lord for his time on Tuesday. What's Tuesday? Tuesday is sandwich day. Tuesday, my mom and dad have lived here for 20 years. For like 19 plus of those years, they've made sandwiches every Tuesday for the homeless shelter. Every Tuesday. And my dad said, "Tuesday's sandwich day." And we're like, "Well, maybe it could work." No, we're not doing it. We can have lunch some other day. See, that's the thing. You know, if you're on the worship team, Wednesday's practice. Someone comes to you, "Hey, we're going to go catch a movie tonight. Hey, we're going out to dinner. Hey, this." Sorry, I can't. My time is committed to the Lord. I got to be disciplined about that. I might miss out on something, but I have to be committed to what I've been intentional to give. All right? So those are some of the things we got to do. So you got to decide in your heart. You've got to be intentional. And here, let me say this to you. Ecclesiastes, can you give me go to the next one, Sue. Ecclesiastes 5:4-5 says this: "When you vow a vow to God, do not delay in paying it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay what you vow. It's better that you should not vow than you should vow and not pay." We're going to ask people to give us some idea of how they expect to participate in the mission of this place to bring people to the knowledge of Jesus. That includes how they're going to add their talents, how they're going to add their time, how they're going to bring their resources and their money to this place. But listen, you're not fooling yourself if you know you're not going to do something, and certainly God knows better. So please, be honest with yourself and be honest with God about what you intend to do and what you intend to give, okay? But next, how do you think about this? Paul, in his first letter to the Corinthians, he talked to the Corinthians a lot about giving. He said, on the first day of every week, each of you is to put something inside and store it up, as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. See, that's one of the things that I found to be useful in my giving. Like, I got paid on Friday, I get paid every 2 weeks, and direct deposit, and guess what? Out of my bank account comes, on Friday, my tithes and my offerings to CTK, right? Because, A, I want to do first fruits, right? And B, I want that money gone so that I don't spend it and run out of money, you know, and then get to the end of the pay period and find, oh, I don't have anything to give to God. It's way better that I figure out what to do with what's left than to take something that I really should be dedicating to God, right? That's the way I feel about it, and I would encourage you to consider that as well. And of course, in Proverbs, remember we said, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits. Okay, so if you need help with that, I will certainly recommend Financial Peace University. It's a great way for people to get a handle on how they run the finances of the house, including how they give to God for finances. But then the next thing you got to do, and I don't know how to tell somebody to be disciplined about it, you got to just follow through and do it. Just like my dad said, no, Tuesday's not good, can't do it. You know, just like our worship team will say, no, Wednesday's not good, can't do it. You know, when you say, someone says, well, if I say to myself, I want to spend my money on this, no, that's not good. I've got to give to God first. See, you got to be that way with yourself. And it may take some time. You know, when you give time, you only have a certain amount of time in the week. So you may have to figure things out to make things all fit. But I promise you, if you put God first in your time, you'll figure out how to make your time work. If you put God first in your money, you'll figure out how to make your money work. God will bless you in it. If you put God first in your relationship, God will work in your relationship. This is the way God works. It's a faith-based thing. And then this is the last thing on this topic. Just find joy in the fact that you're a giver. This poor woman, she's a giver. She was writing her check and she's saying, God, help me be more joyful about my giving. Will you tell yourself when you've dedicated yourself to giving, when you've made an intentional commitment to give, whether it's your time, your ability, or your resources, will you say, I'm a giver. I'm a part of the mission of linking people to Jesus Christ through the mission and ministry of CTK or wherever else that you may be doing that. That's something you need to think and believe about yourself, because when the thought comes into your head, say, oh, I don't know if I could give. No. Inside your head, you're saying, no, I'm a giver. I give into God's kingdom. Okay, well then, I'll figure it out. You know, that's what happens when you get yourself into that spot. And the last thing I want to say is this. God's promised blessings that will overflow into the kingdom of God. They're going to be useful for other people, and they're going to fill up your life as well. It's the most incredible, powerful thing, and that's what I want to talk next about, faith. But I want you to look for God. I got to tell you that, and you may think I'm weird. I am weird in some ways. But, like, I'll be sitting at work, and something will happen, and I'll just look up, because that's where God is, and I'll say, well, God, thank you. That's all you. I have no idea how that just happened, but thanks. It makes me look great here at work. I thank you for that. You know, or you'll see something work out for your finances, and I'll go, thank you, God, for showing up in that. Thank you for helping us in that. There's story after story after story. We'll talk a little bit about that in this next section. All right, Sue. I remembered. Film clip. I got a film clip to show you before we go into this. As we go into this section on faith.
Ask God. Only in the leap from the lion's head will he prove his worth. It's impossible. Nobody can jump this.
You must hurry! Come quickly!
It's a leap of faith.
You must believe, boy. You must believe.
Isn't that awesome? See, the path was there from one side of the thing to the other, but it couldn't be seen. See, faith is the substance of things not seen, the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. Do you hope to be a better giver? Would that be a hope in your life? Would you like to be more generous? Would you like to be happier about giving? Would you like to be able to believe God's promises for giving? It's a leap of faith, because you can't see to the other side. And that's where faith does its best work. It's the evidence of things not seen. So powerful. So powerful. Faith and trust. Faith is the key to everything in our relationship with God. Faith is how we get to know God through Jesus. It's our salvation. It's key to our giving. Faith deserves its own series, its own message. We've done it before. We'll do it again because faith is integral to everything we do with God. You know, the crazy thing about God's mission and ministry in the world, God's kingdom, God's church, is that it's faith-based, and it's just not easy to explain. I'm going to try for a little bit today. See, faith is not a size thing. Faith, as the size of a mustard seed, you remember that? It can move mountains, right? Did Jesus say that? You go in any Christian bookstore, you find these little necklaces full that got the little mustard seed in it so people can remember about faith. And I started thinking, what are the small things make a big change in the world because of the strength of them? And it's in the news. It's not a positive example necessarily, but the coronavirus. What has the coronavirus done? It's microscopic. But did you know that they built a hospital, what was it, 1,000-seat bed hospital in a week, right, or 10 days, something like that, in China? Did you know that there's hundreds of millions of dollars of medical supplies on the ocean right now going to China? This tiny, minuscule virus has motivated all this action around it because it's being applied in a place, in this case, that causes sickness and devastation. But it's the strength of that thing has produced a result. And faith is the same way. When you put that faith to work in your giving, it'll produce the result that God promised. I have a saying that I keep in my head. Faith is the absolute and total conviction that it's impossible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to lie. If God says, give and it will be given to you, pressed down, it will be given to you, pressed down and shaken together. If God says, I'll open the windows of heaven, he will open the windows of heaven. Okay, that's where you have to apply the faith. But God only wants to work in faith. Listen, Jesus wandered all over his neighborhood, Galilee and all those places. He healed people everywhere. He did miracles everywhere. If you were sick and you came to Jesus, did Jesus say, oh, that'll be $100? No. Or did he say, hey, you got to go, you got to climb this mountain before I heal you? No, he said, your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. Faith is one of the things that activates the response of God. It says without faith in the Bible, it's impossible to please God. So let's finish up by talking a little bit about what you can do to build your faith. For anything, but let's specifically talk about faith with regard to giving and to this relationship we have with God. So do you see what I'm saying? This is, God wants us to be a conduit. He gives to us, we give into God's kingdom. He blesses, which we get to manage through. We become this conduit, this pass-through of God's blessings to the world to link people to the saving message of Jesus Christ. So the first thing I would say to you is if you want to develop faith, is to pray. In Philippians, it says, let your reasonableness be known to all. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I'll tell you, people, I struggle with this one. You know, you live your life. Stuff happens. Michelle just talked about it this morning. Stuff happens. And you can't, as a human being, it's challenging for you to not be anxious about this or that or the other thing. Yet the Bible commands us to do that. And how do you do that? Let your request be known by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Talk to God about it, please. Second thing that I would have you do is not to be ashamed about not having strong enough faith or belief. There was a story in the Bible about a man with a son. His son was sick. His son had a demon or something about him where he would fall down and he'd fall in fires and water. And here's the Bible verse. It said, and this demon cast him into fire and water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if I can, I'm Jesus. You know, if I can, he said, all things are possible for one who believes. And what did the man say to Jesus? He said, I believe. Help my unbelief. See, God understands that you're not all the way there in certain aspects of your faith and your life. And he wants to help you. Did Jesus say, well, we're going to wait to heal this kid until your belief gets better? Is that what he said? No. He healed the child. Do you think he answered that man's prayer when he said, "Help my unbelief"? He provided the man something to put his feet on to believe more for Jesus, to build his faith, to grow in strength for his faith. Read God's instructions and his promises for giving. Back to the website or whatever you can do to study on that. I challenge you to study God's instructions and promises about giving. You will be so excited to be a part of this extravagant move of God in your life that you won't be able to sit still. You won't be able to not give of yourself and your time and your resources and your money. And I recommend you memorize some of it. I love to carry it with me in my head. A good one is Luke 6:38. Give and it will be given to you, pressed down and shaken together and overflowing. Not a lot of words, but it encompasses so much of what we're talking about, God's instructions, give, and God's promises. It will be given. Remember what God has done. Here's the thing about being on the path with God. I was talking to Pastor Craig this morning. He goes, "How you doing?" Before anything started, you know how it is, Kyle. We want to bring something to you that's useful and that's helpful in God's kingdom, and yet, you know, maybe we don't have all the great confidence in ourselves. I do have confidence in God, though, so I know it's going to work out okay. And he said, "Listen, you've done this before. It's going to be okay." And I thought, Pastor Craig, that's exactly what I've got in my message. Because when David, when he was a shepherd, David from the Bible, David and Goliath, when he went to where Goliath was defying the armies of God, he said, "I'm going to kill that Philistine." And they said, "You're just a kid. You are just a kid, and he's a giant, and nobody can stand up against him." And what did David say? He said, "You got it? Yeah, awesome." And David said, "The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." See, remember what God's done in your life. When Pastor Craig reminded me of that, I said, "Yeah, you're right. It always works out good. God always comes to the rescue. God always gives you the words. It always plays out the way that God would have it play out, if I listen. I hope I'm listening. Please, God." And the last thing is this: take action and start. Take action and start. From where you are, you know, I'm going to steal something from Michelle. She may put it in her prayer anyway. But don't sit in guilt over what you haven't done or what you don't think you can do. Whatever you can do and purpose in your heart without reluctance or under compulsion, do it. Do it. James said, "What good is it, my brothers, if when someone says he has faith, does not have works? Can that faith save him? Faith without works is dead." There's a story that's told to illustrate this point. It's a made-up story, okay? But suppose there's a man. He's been isolated in his home. No one's heard from him. He hasn't eaten. He's on the very edge of dying because he's not been eaten. And they grab him up and they say, "We got to get him to the hospital. We got to get an IV in him or something." And the man's going, "I believe if I can get this IV, if I can eat, I'll live. I believe if I eat, I'll live. I believe if I eat, I'll live. I believe." And he died. Why? Because nothing happened. No one took action. You've got to put action into your faith. Start from where you are. I'm done. I got one last thing to tell you. You guys have heard me before. So, you know how kids, I'm a dad, so I love these little homely stories. You know how when your kids start to walk and they don't know how, they don't have any faith about walking either, right? They're holding on to all the furniture, right? They're grabbing onto your hands like there's no blood in your finger because they're grabbing you so tight, that kind of thing. And then you kind of get yourself loose from them and they take one step and they fall down, right? And do you say, "Well, that was terrible"? No, you don't do that. You say, "That was awesome, baby. Come on, I'm going to help you up. Let's go again." And they take another step, or they take two steps. Or they do that little thing where they take like three or four little steps like this, like they're walking, but they're really kind of falling, you know? They're not really. You say, "Well, that's not going to work." No, you say, "That's awesome. Come, walk to daddy. Come on. Come to daddy." You know what it's like. Even if you're not a parent, you've seen kids do this. Now, what if you're a mom or a dad, and I don't know anybody. Is anybody here a runner? Anybody in the crowd a runner? No runners in the crowd. Oh my gosh, I had one at 9:30. Okay, so it's a hypothetical for you guys. But what if you're a runner and you're a mom or a dad and you say, this is getting good. They're taking the steps. They're moving along. They're growing in their strength for this. They're saying, the day is going to come when I'm going to run with my boy. The day is going to come when I'm going to run a marathon with this child. And this child doesn't have the first clue what running means. They don't have the first clue what a marathon means. And it will bring me so much joy for me as their parent to be able to bring them into that part of my life and share it with them. That's the way I think God looks at us with our faith and with our faith in anything, but faith in giving. You're falling down on your butt and he doesn't go, well, that's not good enough. No. He said, okay, I'm going to bless you in that. And I'm going to pray before we're done that God will bless everybody who takes any step of faith. Okay? We believe in the power of prayer. And then you take those little 3 or 4 running steps and God's like, no, that's not going to. No. God's like, come on. Come to daddy. He's saying, child, you don't have the first clue what you and I are going to do together. If you will enter into this relationship with me in giving and grow in faith, the things that I will flow through you for the glory of my kingdom and to connect people to the life-giving message of Jesus Christ are things you can't even imagine. They'll be extravagant. There'll be vats of wine bursting and barns exploding because they're so full. There's so many things going on. I just encourage you. Sorry, I got wound up. I encourage you and I challenge you to study on this, to throw yourself into it, to enter into a relationship with God in giving. And I beg you to apply what faith you have now to ask God for more so that you can experience the joy of being a cheerful giver. Thanks. Let's pray. God, I promise I'd pray for everyone here. And I'm praying for me too, Lord. Lord, you know, we know that faith is what speaks to you. Faith is what made people well. Faith is how we come to know you, Lord. And I pray that every smallest step of faith that any person here takes today, especially in their giving, that you would recognize it, that you would acknowledge it, that you would encourage it, that you would bless them in it, that you would lead them directly to the next step.